Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man and Ross the Produce Boss, bringing you what's fresh, local, and in season. From field updates to what's hitting store shelves and the hot industry topics you need to know, we've got the produce insights you crave, only on the Produce Industry Network.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely October Friday. Oh boy, I'm in the San Francisco Bay. Dan the Produce Man here with you along with
Ross, the Produce Boss, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, recording today, but I'll be in Anaheim, California this week for the IFPA Global Produce Show. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing all sorts of folks. It's another chance to see my Ag Life media friends and partners and everyone else and see my co-host, Dan the Produce Man, in person.
Yes, that's right. As you are listening, as this podcast has been posted, that is exactly where we are. So it's kind of like time travel a little bit, huh?
Yeah, you have to figure out how we're doing it, but we're in two places at one time.
Well, you've heard of astral projection, right?
I cloned myself. So is it the real me or is it my clone? I don't know. We're not going to go into the Clone Wars here, but you know, that is a good movie. I love my Star Wars movies. So.
Okay. Well, good. Hey, that's because you are a star. There you go. Right.
Shine bright, shine bright. Get my stars aligned, baby.
Hey, what are you cooking up? Wait. First though, Ross.
Yeah.
Who brings us Fresh from the Field Fridays every week?
Well, part of the Produce Industry Network powered by Ag Life Media. You know, we've got all sorts of things. Make sure you get on aglifemedia.com. Check out our podcasts. Check out the news articles. All sorts of great content for the industry at aglifemedia.com.
There you go, Daddy.
And
you know it.
Since we're talking about what cooking, I'm going to show you a picture here. Now, for you listeners, just imagine the sizzle, the pop of the peppers and onions on my Blackstone. So this
past week,
I was grilling and dicing, you know. I should have got my hibachi hat on and been out there just chop, 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 doing it up on my Blackstone. So there I started off with some peppers and onions all diced up. My wife did all the chopping. I did the cooking. So it was a team effort. So thanks to her for getting all the veggies and peppers and stuff ready. And then from there, boom, there they're cooking. I got the sausage going, getting that all cooked up and then put it together. Here's the last we did. We did a breakfast theme. So we did the sausage and peppers and onions kind of as a hash and pancakes on the Blackstone. So cooked the whole meal on the flat top. So good.
Hey, yeah. No mess in the kitchen. Do that right out. Yeah. Porch or deck or whatever you got, man. Oh man, do you use that thing year round?
I use it year round. I mean, I'll bundle up out there in the winter. I mean, I eat a little bit less in the winter. Don't get me wrong. You're like,
sure.
30 degrees outside, the wind is blowing. Do I really want to have to go out there? But you know, it puts off some heat. So once you get it going, I'd say the biggest challenge at times with a Blackstone is making the time when you get done cooking to clean it properly. And like, you know, when you go to hibachi, you're all sitting there eating your food while the chef is doing the cleaning where he has to put all water on it, clean it, you know, scrape it all down. And it's the same process for Blackstone. You know, you want to put water on it, scrub it, clean it real good, and then put a nice coat of oil and season it. Let that burn off and then flip everything off, let it cool down and cover it on up. So I think that's the biggest drawback people have with Blackstones is having to clean it after the fact versus a grill. You know, you can take your steaks off the grill, turn that propane off and walk away from it and just close the lid. Not with a flat top.
Yeah, but you still got to clean the grill. I mean,
you should.
Top, it's disgusting. Yeah.
There's people that, you know, they like those little leftover bits, you know, so you get two meals at once.
Oh yeah, well, there's a two-week-old char that we're going to put on this brand new steak. Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's the fun. My kids love it. You know, this is actually my second one. I had my first one for a couple of years and then I upgraded to this one this year and it's got some newer features to it from my last one with some more wind guards and an upgraded griddle top. So I donated the last one to my old neighbor who's now putting it in great use. So,
all right. See, you can't go wrong. Any way you can get fresh fruit and veggies into your diet, folks, do it, whether it's Blackstone or.
And with that, we had apples and grapes, almost like a Waldorf salad to go along with our dinner.
So there you go.
Juice from potatoes and onions and hash browns to the apples and grapes. Oh, I mean, it's starting to be fall weather here. You know, we're super excited here in the Midwest. It's still warmth is hanging on, but those cool mornings, you know, like today it was like 40 some degrees. You open that door to let the dog out and you're like, man, does that feel crisp and good?
It's going to be root vegetable season pretty soon, folks. That, I bet you that would go really well on the Blackstone too. Some root vegetables on there, some parsnips and turnips and rutabagas and beets and whatever else.
I love to cook asparagus on it too.
Okay. Not a root vegetable, but hey.
It's not. I've tried sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are much better in the oven or in the air fryer. So air fryer is our preference for like sweet potatoes. But when I do a regular little potato like these, I usually these I did in the oven, but I'll boil them first, and then I put them on the flat top and smash them, so they get that crisp outer texture.
Oh, okay, yeah, smashed fingerling potatoes is those aren't fingerlings, but we used to have a chef.
Little nibbles, little potatoes, whatever brand your store has, the small potatoes. Oh, it's another way. And it adds that texture, just adds that crispiness to the outside and the fluffy potato center. Oh, so good.
It's a good way to cook those. And, you know, those small potatoes have big flavor. So those small potatoes ain't no small potatoes, that's for sure. So,
well, real quick, before we take our first break, I love our swag today. And you know, we both got produce hats on. I mean, you're wearing the Ag Life Media hat, and I'm repping some duck wall. I've even got duck wall over my shoulder here. And then I've got Great Lakes here. Let me go the right way. Great Lakes on this vest. And I mean, what's on your shirt, right?
Oh, well.
It says Dan, for those who don't know who you are.
Yeah, but here it says, oops, wrong. You know, these things.
Dan's, you got to get the camera angle right.
Yeah, it's my old store, Dan's Fresh Produce. And this is a beat up old sweatshirt, but you know.
It's hanging in there. I wore
quite a bit working, you know, in the store and unloading trucks and putting up orders and all that stuff. So it got beat up, but I pulled it out this morning and said, it's a little chilly. I think I'll put it on.
That's all my neighbors see is produce swag that me wear around my house. You know, I'm working on my car, working in the yard. They're like, how many produce shirts do you own? I said, I can't admit that, you know, I don't want to divulge that information.
Yeah, I have quite a few myself. But that one on your hat, Ross, that is a very old label. In fact, you have the label behind you. Yes. So it's still a label that's being used today. It's just printed on the boxes rather than, you know, a label slapped on the side of a wooden crate, which is, you know.
Yeah.
And I have some pear crates here. Pear crates, apple crates, citrus crates.
We'll have to work on getting someone from Duckwall on here for an upcoming episode.
All right. The Wall of Ducks, folks.
Well, let's take our
break.
Yeah. Be right back.
120 years ago in Groningen, the Netherlands, a small produce business began, trading fresh local fruits. By the 1930s, the Vandenberg family moved to Rotterdam, Europe's burgeoning fruit hub. But when the 1940s brought turmoil, they fled to America, rebuilding their legacy in fresh produce. In 1958, Jack Vandenberg became a trailblazer, importing fresh Chilean fruit to the US, opening doors to global flavors. Today, that spirit of growth and innovation continues, with sustainable packaging, carbon footprint tracking, and the finest fruit varieties. We're redefining freshness for the future. Family, fresh, innovation, celebrating a legacy 120 years in the making. This is Jack Vandenberg.
Hey, you know something, Ross? You know these little pumpkins here?
Yeah, those look like school pumpkins.
Yeah, those are school pumpkins. And I want to share with you, when I used to have my store, the preschools would come and they'd bring...
When was that, back in the 1970s?
No. Hey, it's the same sweatshirt I'm wearing, gee, thanks. This is probably 10 years ago, maybe.
All right.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, this picture was taken. But they would come regularly every year, and they would all get a little pumpkin, and they'd tour the store, and then they'd send me notes, you know, written by them. Really cute, you know, some with handprints, and, you know, some of the things that they would say was great. That was something that I really enjoyed doing. And one of the other things that we had was, a lot of this was lined up next to us. As you drive into the parking lot, you can see the corn up there on the corn stalks and these different pumpkins. But one thing that really sold the pumpkins was the stems.
Yeah.
I used to have a sign telling people, you know, hey, don't pick them up by the stems. And then these swan gourds. People love these swan. I always thought they're kind of ugly, but hey, people liked them. So
great for decorating.
Yeah. And I actually had one that dried out, and people would fill those up with water or whatever else and carry them along. So after they dried out, so it's pretty cool.
I think you commented on a post recently where someone talked about the stems and stem end of a pumpkin in retail, because so many of them, the way they're brought into retail and then taken out of bin, they lose those stem ends. And I think that's really where a lot of loss, or, you know, it's harder for retailers to sell the pumpkins that don't have those long stems.
Exactly. Because the pumpkin that I showed you here, this one here,
yeah,
those were really big.
Well,
huge. I mean, and they sold for $30 a piece.
I mean, look at this bin. This was at an Aldi's, you know, it's Frey Farms there, but I mean, all the top ones are down to protect those stems. But when you get consumers starting to dig through them, they break off, and then you find all of those stems at the bottom of the bin.
Yeah. So what I used to do was I had a system. First of all, I had a sign telling people, do not pick them up by the stems. There's a way to pick it up from the sides. And if always, you know, we always had assistance, because those big pumpkins with those nice long stems would, they were packed a special way to be able to keep those stems from breaking. Yeah. But sometimes a customer would pick it up by the stem thinking it's a handle and it would break off. And then they put it back because the stem broke off.
Yeah.
So I would take Gorilla Glue and some pins, and I would Gorilla Glue it back on, put the pins in there, you know, with the really long curly stems, because, you know, you put it back on, and you know, we would sell them. But you're right. Customers can destroy pumpkins. And so folks, do your retailer a favor out there, and please pick them up by the blossom end, by the sides, and ask for assistance if it's too heavy for you. And when you get them home, keep that in mind too, because you don't want the stems to break off at home either, especially
handle with care. Handle, put it in your car, put the seatbelt around it. Don't let it roll around in your trunk, because that stem will get broken off.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Secure that like a baby.
Absolutely.
But, you know, talking about things at retail, I always loved cherry season, but I was always glad to see cherry season go, because you didn't find any more of those dang pits throughout your department that you had to clean up. So
you remember, they would get stuck in the treads of my boots. They would be, that was another thing.
All the fronts would do, front of the cases on tables. Oh my gosh.
I used to put it was like a little garbage can up on a stand with a sign said, if you're going to graze, please throw the pits in here and not on the floor or back in the displays, because it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, not everybody does it, but it does happen. And, you know, if a seed has been in someone's mouth and then they put it back in the display, that's gross. So I always made sure to have a bucket saying, hey, all right, I get it.
We're not saying don't try it before you buy it. We're saying just don't indulge and then leave your garbage all around.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Perfect.
The produce managers and the produce clerks, as well as the other store employees, thank you for not finding your cherry pits throughout the store.
Yeah. Yeah, or taking them out of the tread of your boots with a knife or a pick or a chopstick or something.
I think my most hysterical story is seeing someone like peel a banana and put the bananas in a bag because they didn't want to pay for the weight of the peel.
Yeah, the mushroom people would do that too, break off the stems, yeah.
Asparagus, yeah. And we could probably have an whole episode of war stories of produce.
Sure. Yeah. That's just being a cheapskate. But hey, whatever. I mean, you know, it's all sold by the pound. The retailers pay for it all through the pipeline. It's paid for. So
one way or another,
on the retail end, it should be paid for as well. And there's things you can do with those too.
Well, real quick, I know before we take our next break, but check out these apples that I found also at Aldi. Some nice Michigan Honeycrisp. You know, I talked last week's episode, you weren't there. I talked about going to Tuttle's and Ludacrisp and Crunch. Yeah. My son's like, Dad, where are the Honeycrisp at? You know, I love Honeycrisp. I guess they were talking about it in his culinary class. I'm like, you know what, son? I'll get you some Honeycrisp because he's been eating almost an apple a day. So I don't want to discourage it. So that's where I picked up some Michigan Honeycrisp. These come to us. These were from River Ridge Farms, who I've been able to visit before. My buddy works for him, John Woodall, good friend of mine. And, you know, support Michigan, just a state away, my home state. So
your son eats an apple a day, huh?
He is this time of year.
That is why you don't see any doctors around him. There's no doctors following
him. Well, this just started about a week ago, going into the fall season. Before that, he's not my produce person like my daughter, who will, you know, gladly say, hey, Dad, go get the salad bowls. Now, if it's covered in chocolate or caramel, then, you know, he's all in. He's definitely got the sweet tooth for sure. But he's been doing good. He's got the apple slicer down and he's been eating them with peanut butter. So, hey, he's eating produce, having good snacks. You know, what am I supposed to say? I'm a proud dad.
Good. You should be proud. And speaking of Honeycrisp, I have an apple here. I got to tell you, Ross, there's a lot of new apples out, a lot of new varieties, cross between this, cross between that. Gold Delicious was one that they would use quite a bit when they were making new apples, the developers, whatever they're called.
Well, should we take our break first and then go into this? Do you want to take a quick break first?
Why you think I'm going to go on for? Did I ever tell you about the time? Go ahead. Let's.
Dan, we know history repeats itself.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's hear that good mint oil stuff.
Oh, who doesn't love the smell of mint?
From the fields of Owyhee Produce, where generations of growers nurture the land, born from the same rich soil that produces our famous onions, Owyhee Mint Oil is pure, soft, and naturally sweet. With a smooth, earthy aroma, it's a refreshing addition to recipes, diffusers, and many more. And like nature's best, it only deepens in richness and flavor over time. Grown with care, distilled to perfection, Owyhee Mint Oil.
Okay, now, speaking of Honeycrisp,
yep.
I have an apple here. Oh, and like I started to say,
show it to me.
I was unrudely.
Show me the apple. Show me the apple, Dan. Come on.
Oh, I'm going to show it to you in a minute.
Don't leave me hanging.
But the honey, you know, I was saying how the Gold Delicious was used a lot in crosses, and the Honeycrisp is being used a lot in crosses developing new apples. And, you know, there's a lot of good ones out there. There's a lot of mediocre ones, I would say, as well. But it also depends on where it's grown, you know, when it's grown, the whole bit that will make the apple variety jump out at you.
Come on.
Yeah. So, but I have to say there is a cross apple that has knocked my socks off, that has impressed me so much. I have to recommend it. And I created a video on this for a grocery chain in the East, and it's That ad.
Where's it from? Where's it from? Isn't
going to show up yet. It's grown in Washington.
Okay.
That will be up on their website next month. But this apple is called Honeys, or I was mispronouncing it. I was calling it Honey Z. Now, Honeys. This is a very, very, very firm, dense apple. And it's a cross between a Crimson Crisp and a Honey Crisp. But the thing is, Ross, that a Crimson Crisp is a cross between a Gold Delicious, a Rome Beauty, and a Jonathan. And the Honey Crisp has some
serious parentage. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. The Honey Crisp itself has six parents.
And yeah.
I wrote an extensive article on that. I just couldn't find it to be able to reference it here.
The Honey Crisp is the number one apple now. So,
yeah. And you know what? I wrote an article 20 years ago called The Honey of a Crisp, and I predicted that it would be right up there with, if not conquer, or it would be right next to the Fuji as the number one apple. But this Honey's, so you're talking six, there's nine different apples in this apple. And so, the flavor and the texture and the juice in this apple is mind-blowing. I'm very impressed.
Who's it from?
Washington State. It's grown in Arondo, Washington. Gee Whiz is the packer on this.
So I'm going to have to today go, well, in the future, Friday, at the show, go to the Gee Whiz booth and grab one of these.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I highly recommend this apple.
And that's one of the things that, I kind of wasn't quite sure if I was going to be able to fit this show in my schedule, but ultimately I decided to go to Anaheim because, one, I didn't want to miss all my friends and colleagues and industry peers, but two, innovation is always showcased at this Anaheim show. You know, vendors will save their new items, all this kinds of stuff for the show in Anaheim. So if you're listening as a consumer, Dan and I are going to be on the lookout for what's new, what's coming up, what are we going to see in the marketplace in the next 6 months, month, whatever it may be, because there's going to be some new stuff coming out and we want to be there to see it and report back to you about it.
One of the items that I'm very excited that will be launched at the IFPA, International Fresh Produce Association, but it's Global called Expo. Something else, Global Produce and Floral Show, is this pineapple from Dole called the Colada Royale. This tastes like pina colada. It's a white-fleshed pineapple, and it is absolutely delicious, absolutely tasty, and that will be launched there. I'm allowed to talk about it now. They sent them a few months ago and said, don't talk about these until the show, but then they sent an email saying, all right, go ahead, talk about them. So that's just one thing, a brand new pineapple. It's very exciting.
And I think our show next week will have a small segment about what were our favorite finds in Anaheim.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just Anaheim peppers. Anaheim, California.
And we're not talking Disneyland, folks. We're not talking the Mickey Mouse. We're talking fresh produce. There's floral there. I saw that on the expo there. You can actually get into floral, I believe, on Thursday. You can actually go into the floral pavilion if you so desired. So we'll see.
Yeah, it smells so good in there, too. It just smells so nice in there. But you know what? Usually someone has a party at Disneyland. So Disneyland is at the House of Blues there. So there's there is a connection.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of.
We're across the street.
Yeah.
But it's a long walk to get to the gate. I mean, it's not like it's just, from where we're staying in the convention center, you got to go around and around to get to the main gate.
You go
to
the backside. You go in the back gate.
Oh. You got a secret knock? Is it like the Sheldon knock on Big Bang,
Exactly.
And the produce man, let me in. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have fun. Yeah.
So we're excited.
Get the whole gang together. You'll have John Papp from History Show. You have Juanita talking international. We'll have Patrick Kelly, Little Citrus, and all of us will be there together. Not all together at the same time. Maybe a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
We all are looking for different things. But hey, if you see us, grab us, Love to have some conversations and talk about anything and all things.
All right, folks. We'll see you there, and we'll see you back here next week as usual. Hey, folks, be sure to check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Getting Fresh with Dan the Produce Man. And you can get fresh with me by going to that site. All my social media is on that site as well. And you can find Ross where?
Look for me, Ross the Produce Boss, on Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, all of the social media channels. Search Ross the Produce Boss. I am there putting out different things. I'm a little bit more active on the Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, so got to get a little bit better on some of the other ones. So working on it. Dan, looking forward to stay fresh, keep growing, and let produce lead the way.
That is some darn good advice. Hey, folks, until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man and Ross the Produce Boss. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify for fresh weekly episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Network and at Dan the Produce Man and at Ross the Produce Boss. Until next time, we'll see you in the fields or on the horizon.